Hi, my name is Jessica Johnson, and I'm here with
Elaine Johnson.
Okay, so tell me, what was the history behind 720, or the Red and White House?
Well, the history behind 720, and we call it 720 because the house was 720 square feet. I have a lot of memory. I have a lot of history of visiting Grandma in the Little Red and White House, and it was the perfect grandmother's house. It was very quaint. It gave you just a feeling of warmth. It gave you a feeling of love. And she was a feisty woman. She passed away in 1988, and her name was Alberta Cashmere. And she was married to George Cashmere, my grandfather, and they called him Papa Shim. He was a hard work, awesome, strong, you know, husband and father who took care of his family until, of course, his death. And yet, I never had a chance to meet him, but I want to leave this treasure to say that if they both were alive today, I would say thank you. Thank you so much for what they did to own property right here in South Union. And I'm just grateful, and I am privileged to have been able to be the family member to hold on to the property, to fight for the property, to keep the property. To receive such a blessing makes me feel like I know that they were so right there with us during the whole process. The spirit of my grandparents, I believe that their hard sweat and tears, you know, that went into fighting for a property during a time when it was not easy to own for a black family. So I have to say thank you. My grandmother, she was very meticulous about the house, of course. Every time we visited Grandma, it was always spick and span. It was clean. You know, you knew where the peppermints were in the little jar that she kept right there on the coffee table in front of the couch. And you know, I remember the little walkway where she would have the telephone, and she would sit there whenever the phone rang. She would sit right there, had a little chair that sat right next to the window, and she would look out the window while she's talking on the phone. I just have those memories, and going out and sitting on her front porch, the screen porch where she had red rocking chairs that matched the red and white house. And so it was a time that I feel so encouraged every time I think about my grandmother. And I have to speak on behalf of the rest of my family that we treasure everything that they did. And we treasure the fact that we now have the blessing of home ownership that we can continue to pass down because they did. And they started something. And that's why, of course, I believe that we are all to make that imprint into the lives of our family members that are still with us to do something great. So the history of 720 all started with Grandma. And Grandma was a very pivotal part in this community, as I learned after, of course, finding this information in the little box that was in the leaning garage that Eric mm-hmm. talked about. He found this box in the garage, and he brought it out, and he said, "Baby, I want you to sit down." And he sat a chair right there in the driveway, and he said, "I want you to open it and just take a look." And in that box, I sat there and I cried because my grandmother thought enough to have every document of importance that was important to our family, the Cashmere family. And it was all kind of documents, the death certificate of my grandfather, the birth certificates and death certificates of her son, my father's twin. My father was Cloyd Joe Cashmere, and he had a twin brother. And so she kept all of that information. She kept even the receipts of every time they paid for the monthly mortgage of the house. And the last payment was made in, I believe, the summer, in the 60s, I believe it was. And I can't remember the exact date, but I remember seeing that payment and seeing that she wrote on the receipt "paid in full" just brought me to tears to know that this was something that she kept all of this information, and not knowing that we would even need that information more than 20 years after her death just leaves my heart full of joy and leaves me with a greater understanding of what we are here as parts of a family. We are all here, and we're connected to our families because we're here to make a difference, and we're here to leave something, and that is a legacy. And that's exactly what my grandmother, Alberta Cashmere, and my grandfather, George Cashmere, did, moving here to South Union, not knowing that after they would be long gone, that their granddaughter, the youngest grandchild, would be me, and that I would take on such a gift and such a blessing. So I have to speak of my grandmother with great joy and great honor.
So why did you want to sacrifice your a new townhome for a little red and white house?
Well, it was twofold, keeping the house in the family name, but also it has a centralized location. We wanted to make this into a community center where we could do our community work out of. And when I say community center, I don't mean like a county community center or a city community center. I mean, this was our center to teach all of our classes on healthy relationships and be the place where people come to provide community services like cleaning up around the community and so on and so forth. So that's the second thing that was important to us to move here from the beautiful townhome that we moved from.
What was your concern about 720?
That we would never get it renovated. I was really concerned that we'd never get that house refurbished. We wanted to add a room and to add a bathroom to it.
Yeah, it was really small. Like, you can do all your business without even moving. We couldn't wash our hands in the regular sink. We had to wash it either in the kitchen or in the bathtub.
The toilet, I remember it was kind of hard, so when we would use the restroom, then we would have to do to flush it. We couldn't use the lever because it didn't work. So what we'd have to use is a bucket and fill it up with water in the tub and then pour it in there. And then, you know, whatever you did goes down. It was interesting, very interesting.
And changed the configuration of the established bathroom. So that was one of my major concerns for 720.
I really didn't think it was that bad because I'm a child and it's like it looks really big from my point of view. So it's not like you expect a child to be like, oh, this isn't the right house and stuff. So, I mean, like, I was perfectly fine with the house, but once I got older and started recognizing where I'm living and stuff, it started getting embarrassing and for my friends to come over. And
I was embarrassed. The house wasn't looking as it should be, and I didn't really feel like I had something to show. I'm not saying that now I have something to show with this extreme makeover thing. I'm just saying it wasn't, like, as little girls, we wanted something to be proud of, to show our friends, and know that all is well. But it really wasn't. And throughout that whole time, I wasn't really seeing any friends. And yeah, it was heartbreaking to know that I can't let my friend in because my parents feel the same way. They're embarrassed on how the house looks. They don't want anybody falling through the floors.
We were going through a lot, and like, that wasn't...
You didn't want them to see that?
Yeah. Our house was very small. It was a shack. And but our family, they really actually knew what we were going through. So it wasn't a problem with that.
The room for my children, it was tough. Because the more we received no's from the banks to refurbish the house, the tougher it really got. That's why we started out with no beds, and then when we realized it was going to be a little while longer than 6 months to a year, we realized we needed to go ahead and put some furniture in, you know, so the girls could sleep, not on air mattresses. But even when we put the beds in, we realized it was hotter in the back, and it became difficult for them to sleep in their bedroom.
It was very, very hot in the summer. You just wanted to take your shirt off and dive into a pool.
Because we didn't have any air conditioning, and then it was like the sun was in the house. It was very hot. It was like all the air came into from outside came into the house.
So a lot of times they slept in the front room.
Well, me and my sister Reagan, we had a twin sex bed. But my sister Reagan, she wasn't always the best person to sleep with. But I'm really thankful that I actually had a bed to sleep on.
It wasn't too good for me since I was on the top bunk and there was a little ant pile on top of the roof. And so when I would go to sleep, then they would crawl on me and I would just get up in the morning and have ant bites all over my legs and arms. And, you know, sometimes I would just have to go down with my sisters or maybe sleep in the living room or that. But the winter, I remember we used to turn on the burners on the oven, and then it would just heat up the house. Well, mainly the living room. It was more colder on the inside than it was on the outside because we had more cracks in the house, and, you know, we weren't really that cozy. But, you know, we still enjoyed our times, even though it was kind of hard because when you would have to clean up and sweep and stuff, it would be kind of hard because then when you come back, then it's still dirt and stuff all over. So, you know, I would do the dishes. So it wouldn't be a big deal because then we would be partners with cleaning up and things like that because, you know, I need to learn how to clean up so that when I get older. So that's why I don't think it was a big deal.
Well, back then, as I was little, washing the dishes was a hassle since I had a big fear over rats and cockroaches. It wasn't really much compared to the fact that we had to use paper plates since we didn't want to break anything, like the shells, because the shells weren't strong enough to hold. So that was a little ticket to hurry up and get the dishes done and get in my pajamas and go bed. I mean, it wasn't much, but we made it something.
It really challenges a father who wants the best for his children when he's unable to, provide the things that he know he's capable of providing.
Like, we really had a really close relationship, and even now we still have a really close relationship. My dad, we really had a close relationship with him because we'd have ET time. It stands for Evan time. So we'd actually have time to go out with each other and just spend time with each other since he's always working. Yeah, my mom really, because she was a stay-at-home mom, so she'd help us with homeschooling and stuff. The good memories in 720 was, for me, family night. Friday night was always movie night.
We would go over to Redbox and, you know, get us a movie that everyone would enjoy and stuff. And then maybe we'll go to Family Dollar, that like up the block from us, get some little candy bars and just lay down. Everybody's on the floor, mom and daddy on the couch, everybody got their pillow. It's like a sleepover with your own family. Everyone enjoyed. I mean, we would laugh and then sometimes we'll cry.
We could all relax and be together.
You know, it was just times where we enjoyed each other most.
It was uncomfortable. But through 3 years in that house of washing dishes and cleaning up, and actually, it was worth it. It was worth it. It really was.
So, Miss Elaine, tell me, I understand that you guys came from a little house and now you guys are in a gigantic house. Tell me how this all happened.
It was a long process, you know, that we endured, but when it started happening fast. And how this all happened was beyond us. What we saw was that the divine began to make things come together. And so when we were nominated, of course, we did have to agree to the submission process, and everything that we needed was in that little box. The little box that was in the leaning garage that Eric found, that we had no idea that was there that we would need, but that my grandmother kept such great records. And so the questions that they had were easily answered. It was from then on that the ball started rolling. Before we knew it, we were, you know, being called up on stage at the Improv Comedy Club. It was after that that we were whisked away on a plane to Paris, France.
That was amazing. Like, my favorite part was when we first got there. We, like, 10 minutes after we got there, we were going to the Eiffel Tower, like, right then and there. The Eiffel Tower was amazing. They have elevators going up there, going all kinds of ways. It's not just going straight up. It's going all kinds of ways. But it's really cool when you're high up there.
We stayed for the week, and when we came back, this little 720 square foot house was no more. It was now 4,600 square feet.
I was very excited. Like, we were praying and declaring and speaking for this to happen. I feel like I was the happiest person in the world. I was in tears. It was so amazing.
And what this has done for our family is it has enabled us to give back in a greater way. We don't look at this like this is just our family, but we look at this because of what the hope that it brought to the neighborhood. We have people that still walk the streets to this day, and they'll stop and say, you guys don't know how this has encouraged us, or this has uplifted our spirits, and this has caused us to have hope that good things can happen on good hope. Mm-hmm. And so even beyond good hope, I will say that when a community comes together, just as a family can come together, a community can come together and can make change. And so that's what we saw. And we look forward to doing more. We've done great things with couples, with helping relationships, great things with youth. And we're still doing those things. We're still doing workshops, whether it's for you and your business, how to deal with relationships at work, as well as relationships at home, because all of our relationships are just that, they're relationships. And it's understanding that dynamic and keeping especially that nest, that home life in balance. And when that's in balance, everything else kind of just comes together. So this is what we're doing now. And we're also, of course, we're doing the community garden thing. We're wanting to see our neighborhood be transformed to that again, because that was a memory that I had when I would visit grandma. Everyone in the neighborhood had a garden. They would barter. They would have, if you didn't have eggs, they would have, you know, cucumbers or chickens or something. And so just to give that back to this area would be something that is great and grand. But more than that, to see our community as a people come together and make change, especially in nurturing our generations to come.
Make sure that they keep their head up high no matter what they're going through, because everyone has struggles. And, you know, you'll come out of there with some good things. That's what I believe, because I've went through it. And for all you guys, just make sure that you have your head up high and that you have faith in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. So that's what I believe.